This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. And I want us to begin looking at verse 18 through the end of the chapter this evening. So be Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 26. Moses had brought the people to the base of Mount Sinai. They had encamped around the base. The Lord, as we studied last week, had appeared in thunderings and in lightnings and spoke to the people from the top of Mount Sinai. And then last week we looked at he delivered to them what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. And those commandments, five of them talked about the relationship between man and God. Five of them talked about the relationship between man and man. And they all dealt with how that we are to reflect the character of God and the way that we respond to God and also the way we respond to one another. The response of the people is interesting. And that's what we're going to look at this evening, is how do they respond? How would you respond if you were at the base of Mount Sinai and heard the Lord speaking and calling out with these commands? Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of the earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thine tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this morning or this evening through your word. Help us to see you came not to instill fear in Israel that they would draw from you, but that they would come to you. Lord, help us to understand that the same thing is true today. Speak to us through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel is very interesting, and oftentimes we can become very critical of them. We say, you know, they saw all the miracles of God so far that he's performed as they've delivered them out of Egypt. He's walked with them, yet they constantly bicker, murmur, complain. God shows them more miracles. And now he does something that's really amazing. He comes and he speaks directly to them in an audible voice. Very few people that have ever lived in the world have heard the audible voice of God speaking directly to them. There have been those. I mean, Adam and Eve heard it because they walked with the Lord before they sinned. We know that others have heard the audible voice of the Lord, but never on a vast number of people as it was at the base of Mount Sinai, where you had over a million people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, camped around that mountain that heard God speak. And the things that he delivered to them were things that they needed to hear. We studied that last week. It was They didn't know the holiness of God. They had not understood the righteousness of the Lord. They didn't understand the importance that He was the only God and that they were to worship Him and Him only. They didn't understand that this was to truly reflect through their lives, and it was to reach out in all their dealings with man, was to be a direct reflection of their understanding of God's holiness and how that He had transformed their lives and called them to be a people that was different from all the rest of the world. And as God is speaking to them, you notice they draw away. It's interesting. You wonder what the response of many people will be in that great and awful day of the Lord, when the trump of the Lord shall sound and the Lord shall appear with His 10,000s of saints and He comes to judge the world. You know, you look at many people in our world today, and they're very arrogant and very proud. And I was listening to a man comment on it, and he had hit it right on the spot. He said, one of the things you're seeing is a whole transformation that's occurred within our culture in America, and the young people today have become so rebellious, so self-consumed, so self-centered, and they're in total rebellion against all that has been sacred forever. And they're really in rebellion against God and all of His standards. And specifically, they've embraced the creature rather than the Creator. But he said, do you realize they've been trained to do this since they were little? One of the things that they were talking, I don't know if you saw in the news, sometimes we shouldn't ask for what we think we want because we might get it. And they were talking about that some of the Democratic leaders in our government right now have been calling for change, 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 and to turn away from the old standards and to turn away from the old ways and to embrace the New Age philosophy. And now there's a whole bunch of young people that have been elected to the House of Representatives that really want change. They want to kick out all the leadership, the old leadership of the Democratic Party, and they want to really turn everything in the country on its head immediately, because they think that that is the proper thing to do. My point is, these people think that they're so clever and they're so wise, but one day they're going to have to hear the voice of the Lord. The nation of Israel oftentimes thought they were clever and they were wise. But when the Lord spoke, they fled. And they sought to flee from His presence. Why? Because to come into the presence of a holy God strikes fear in one's heart unless you're coming on His terms. And the sad thing is, they weren't coming on His terms. We know that because they weren't hearing His words. As they come, He comes and He speaks, and it says, and they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou unto us. You can speak, Moses, but we don't want to hear God. Every one of us, if we truly love the Lord and truly seek to follow Him and truly seek to do His will, we should long for the day that we can come into His presence and hear His voice. Moses was in awe of the Lord when he first heard the voice of the Lord on the mountain, when he was herding the sheep and he saw the burning bush that was not consumed. But the fear that he had was an awe-inspiring fear, and a fear in that he was standing in the presence of a holy and righteous God. But he didn't run and flee away, but instead he bowed down and didn't look upon the Lord. Here, the people are fleeing away and they want to listen to a man, but they don't want to listen to God. And that's the way that we often are. We want to listen to a man. We enjoy hearing messages, but we really don't want to hear the word of the Lord when it touches our heart and causes us to be brought under conviction. I believe that as the nation of Israel had heard God give the Ten Commandments to them, that his spirit was causing them to become convicted of the things that they had done and that they were doing, which God's law does. If you've ever talked to witness to anyone, One of the best ways of witnessing to them to show that they're in need of a Savior is to present to them the law and ask them, have you kept it? Why? Because God has placed within the heart of every person a conscience that it reveals to us the fact that we are sinners and that we need God's grace. And when we show people and allow God's Spirit through our words to convict them of their need for a Savior and that they in fact are sinners, they've got a choice to flee from God or to seek Him out. The nation of Israel was choosing to flee from God, and I want us to see specifically what God does in there is He reinforces one of the commandments, and that was not to make idols and worship them. Why did He do that? He said, you shall not make with me, in verse 23, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. What did the nation of Israel have a problem with, not only now, but throughout their history? Going way back to when Jacob left Laban's house with Leah and Rachel. What did Rachel do? She brought one of the idols of the house of Laban. Laban knew the true God, yet Laban had idols in his house. Rachel took one of those idols with her. It upset Laban that his idol was gone. And remember, he came seeking after them and said, who stole my idol? Israel hasn't changed in centuries. They'd been living in a land of Egypt where idols were worshipped on a regular basis. And we know that God, to show not only Egyptians, but also to show Israel, that these were no gods at all, that they were not worthy of worship, because they were merely false gods, idols that could do nothing, they could offer no help, and only God can deliver. And God showed that to Israel. Yet, we see that He tells them, when they get to Mount Sinai, the first thing is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And He also tells them not to make idols and to worship them. He tells them not to do these things. What is the first thing that they do the minute that Moses leaves and goes up to get the Ten Commandments in writing from the Lord and goes up to get the instructions directly from God? Because the people said, Moses, we don't want to hear God, we want to hear it from you. So Moses is going to go and get the word from the Lord to bring down to them, but they really don't want to hear the word of the Lord even when Moses brings it. Why? Because what do they do when he's gone? Build an idol. They build an idol of gold. The very thing that God tells them not to do. Isn't that what we often do? God reveals to us in His Word. We maybe come in and hear a message on Sunday or Wednesday, and God really convicts us that we're not to do something, we're to change our direction, and then what do? Oftentimes go out and do the very thing that we heard that we weren't going to do, that we said that we weren't going to do, and God told us not to do, and then that's the thing that we're drawn to do. That's the way Satan often tempts us, and this is exactly what he did with Israel. And the first thing they did is to violate what God commanded them not to do. And they worshipped an idol of gold, and really they were going back to Egypt, and beyond that they were going back to the Tower of Babel, and beyond that they were going back to the Garden of Eden, and they were listening to the lies of Satan, and they were saying, you don't have to listen to God's word, but do what you want to do, because you're God. And so we see here that they said they wanted to hear Moses and let Moses speak the words of God, but they really didn't want to hear the words of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And he tells them not to build these idols, but he tells them what to build. And he says, you're not to come unto me by worshiping idols and build idols to worship me. Today, in some, I call them false religions, because that's what they are, because they present a different gospel and a different way to God and a different Jesus. But yet they go by the name of Christian. But if you come into their places of worship, you will see idols all around where you worship these idols. And what's happening today, Roman Catholicism has, they made an idolatry even of the last steps of Jesus on the way to the cross, where he was going to the cross. They have what is referred to as the 12 stations of the cross. And you go in there into a Roman Catholic church, they'll have the 12 stations, and you go there and you pray at each station. And one of the things that you're seeing is in some Protestant churches, they're instituting the 12 stations of the cross into their worship. I went to a church in town here, and they built a new building, and I walked in, and I said, they've got 12 stations strategically placed around their auditorium where they're meeting. It's just like Roman Catholicism. And you go in there and into the Roman Catholic Church, and you'll see Jesus hanging on the cross. My Bible tells me Jesus isn't on the cross, but he rose from the dead. He gained victory over sin. It's a finished work. That's why if you see any symbolism of a cross, in our church there's some crosses on the furniture, but we're not worshiping the cross. We're showing that the cross is empty. And Jesus isn't there. And if you go to some of these churches, you will see statues of Mary. And people will actually worship the fascia of statues of Mary. There's in Portugal, there's a little tiny Roman Catholic church. And this church has a statue of Mary. And they dress her in a different outfit that's ordained with silver, gold, precious jewels. And there's a different outfit for every day of the week. I mean, every day of the year. And these people are poor. And they have no money. But they're putting these precious jewels on a statue of Mary. And what does it say in the Bible? I'm not to worship statues. I'm not to worship gold. Not to worship silver. I'm not to do that. Why? Because I'm to worship God on His terms. Well, what are the terms that God gave Israel on to worship? And He says here that the terms that He gave them was that they were to make an altar. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. And thou shalt sacrifice thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. So to make an altar, it is to be an altar of earth. It's not to be an altar that's formed out of gold and silver. It's not to be an idol, but it's just be an altar made out of earth and rocks. But how are these rocks to be done? He tells them in the next verse, and thou wilt make me an altar of stone. Thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. Now, what does he mean by hewn stone? In other words, what they're supposed to do is they're just supposed to go and get field stones. Stones from the field, and they're supposed to stack them, but they're not supposed to cut them. They're not supposed to make them square and perfect. They're not supposed to be like the pyramids of Egypt, where they fit so close together you can't even slide a dollar bill into them. And they form perfect triangles and form perfect structures. He says, that's not what my altar is to be made of. My altar is to be made of the stone of the field. You're just supposed to gather these stones. You're not supposed to hew them. You're not supposed to cut them. You're not supposed to form them. You're not supposed to make them beautiful by what you perceive as beauty that is made with your hands. In other words, they're to come to God not with any human work at all. Now, going back, all the way back, you have an example of this all the way back at the Garden, or shortly after the Garden of Eden, with the first two boys that are recorded in the Scriptures that were the sons of Adam and Eve, and that was Cain and Abel. And it says that they brought sacrifices. Abel brought a sacrifice where he sacrificed a lamb on an altar, but it was not a beautiful altar. Cain, on the other hand, had all these wonderful and beautiful plants that he raised in the garden. And you can imagine he was probably a tremendous farmer. And it had plants, whether there were flowers and grains and whatever. And then what he did is he made a beautiful altar with all these wonderful plants that he had grown. And he brought this altar and he came to God, not on the terms that God said, but on his own terms, saying, look at the works of my hands. Look at what I have done. Look at the beauty of my altar. God is saying here to Israel, I don't want a beautiful altar. I want an altar that's made that out of what hands haven't made, but what I have made. And you're to come to me on my terms, not on your terms. And you're to sacrifice on this altar that I have instructed you to make, not on something you have determined you're going to make, and it's going to be beautiful in your eyes. What did he do with Cain and Abel's sacrifices? He accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's. Why? Because Cain was coming on his own terms with his own works and saying, this is what I'm offering you to God, and this you should accept it in means of to take away my sin, is what I have done. Abel came and said, I'm offering a sacrifice that is a blood sacrifice, where there's a shedding of blood that my sins may be taken away. Abel was looking forward to the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Cain was falling for the lies of Satan and saying, I'm going to make my own religion and do it my own way. He's telling Israel, don't fall into that trap. Don't make an altar that is hewn, where the stones are hewn, where you're coming on your terms, making a religion and thinking that you're coming to me and worshiping me. There are many churches today, I gave you an example of one just a few moments ago, that name the name of Christ, but they come to God in their own terms, in their own way, making their own religion, and it's a different gospel, a different Jesus, and a different way of approaching God. God says, I won't hear it. And so he tells the nation of Israel, don't hew the stones, but make them stones of the field that you come and stack and build an altar, but don't hew them. For if thou lift up the tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. You polluted that stone when you made it with your hands. Remember I gave you the example, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, of when David brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Mount Moriah. And he was bringing it up there to establish the ark, and he put it on the ox cart instead of having the priests carry it. God had instructed that the priests were to be the ones that carried the ark, not on an ox cart. But David wanted to get it up there quickly. And so he put it on the ox cart. The ox cart hit a bump in the road. And I had the same thing happen to me. Not that the Ark of the Covenant was coming home, but I had a Coke that I was bringing up to the hospital to drink, and I put it on the floor, and I hit a bump in the road, and guess what happened? The Coke tipped over. It fell over. Well, David's Ark hit a bump in the road. It tipped over, and the Ark began to fall off. And what happened? One of the priests that was walking beside it, that probably should have been carrying it, he reached out and touched it to hold the Ark to prevent it from falling off the cart and landing on the ground. And what happened? The Lord immediately smote him dead. David was distressed. He said, God, why did you do that? He was just trying to help you. Well, what he did was the exact same thing that God told Israel not to do here. He had polluted the Ark of the Covenant. He touched it with an unholy hand. You and I are unholy. We're sinners. The Ark of the Covenant was a holy and righteous thing that was to reveal to the nation of Israel that it was God's covenant that would bring His righteousness to them, and they could not help Him in any way. It would have been better had the Ark of the Covenant fallen on the dirt of the ground that was not man's sinful hands. And that's why he was smitten dead. Just like he's telling them here, do not hew the stones. Israel would often hew the stones throughout their existence. They'd forget the words of God. They'd forget His commands. They'd forget what He had said. But He came and told them these things, not because He wanted to bring judgment on them, but He wanted them to be set free from their sin, and He wanted to bring blessing upon them. He said in verse 24, and an altar of the earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon a burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thine oxen, in places where I have recorded my name. I will come unto thee, and what will I do? I will bless thee. I will bless thee through what? When you come and sacrifice on the altar that I have instructed you to make, and you do bring the sacrifice according to my terms, then blessing comes. We understand that we cannot come to God on our own terms. We can't be save ourselves. We can't pay for the penalty of our own sin. But if we come to God on His terms through Jesus Christ and that we come and receive the gift of salvation that's found in Christ, we receive a great blessing from the Lord. He calls us His adopted sons and daughters. He calls us co-heirs with Christ. He calls us redeemed. He makes us new creatures in Christ. He conforms us to the image of His Son. And not only that, we shall rule and reign with Him eternally. What tremendous blessings that He gives to us when we come on His terms. He offered the same thing to Israel. Come on My terms, offer upon My altar the sacrifice that I say you are to bring, but don't hew the stones and don't bring your own sacrifice. Because if you do, I will reject it. And then He says in verse 26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto Mine altar, that thy nakedness be discovered thereon. Now, reading commentaries, they said, well, you know, they didn't want steps to go up to the altar because, you know, they wore robes and all of a sudden you could see up under the robes and you could see that which was, it's much more than that. You know that the altars of God were never designed to be walked up to. If you see the Mayan altars, the Aztec altars, they had these altars, and they're built down there, and they're modeled after the ziggurats that were found in Babylon. And if you fly over Iraq today, you can still see various places where ziggurats were all over. And they had these giant steps that went up, and there was an altar oftentimes at the top of the ziggurats, and they were offered human sacrifices on those altars. God says you're not to be walking up steps to altars, lest your nakedness be revealed. What was a nakedness? What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? All of a sudden they realized they were naked before the Lord. I don't think it was that they were physically naked, although they were. But it was much more their sin, their souls had been bared to God and their sin had been revealed to Him. Walking up the altar and coming to it on God's, not on God's terms, man's nakedness is truly opened up, his sin is revealed. When you look at these altars, and they were committing murder to worship their gods. Literally offering human sacrifice and literally killing the people on their altars. What nakedness is that? What sin has been revealed? The total corruption of the culture. In America today, we kill our babies. The nakedness that is revealed upon the altar of sacrificing our children. God's saying, don't do it. Don't take the steps up to your altar. Don't come and build this beautiful altar and then show your sin to the whole world when you get to the top. Don't reveal it. Instead, come to My altar on My terms and My way, that you may worship Me and be set free and receive a blessing, not a curse. You may receive eternal life, not damnation. And this is what God is telling the nation of Israel. The sad thing is, not all of them listened. Some did, but not all. And that was a sad thing. They literally heard the voice of God. They fled from it and said, we want Moses, the voice of a man, to tell us these things. Today, do we flee and want to listen to the voice of men, or do we want God's Spirit to speak to us through the power of His Word and through the word of His testimony? Let's just close in prayer, Lord. I pray that You would help us to understand these things. Help us to understand the type that Israel is revealed in here, and how that You called them not to worship You on their terms, but on Your terms. And that we're to do the same thing. We're not to come on our own terms, but we're to come to You, where it says, the words of Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. May we come to You through the righteous and holy sacrifice that was made on our behalf through Jesus Christ our Lord. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.